As a child, Mara Wilson stole the hearts of millions with her performances in films like Miracle on 34th Street and Mrs. Doubtfire.
You can't go now.
When you have to.
We're in the middle of Charlotte's Web. Who's gonna finish it?
Well, Grandma will finish it for you.
She's not as good. She always gets parts, and she never does the voices. She smells funny, too.
That's the formaldehyde. That's why Granny's so well-preserved.
Now, as an adult, she is entertaining audiences as a writer and live storyteller. In her new book, Where Am I Now? True Stories of Girlhood and Accidental Fame, she opens up about her life as a child star, losing her mother at a young age, and her bumpy journey into womanhood. Again, the name of the book is Where Am I Now? True Stories of Girlhood and Accidental Fame, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mara Wilson to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
What brought you to want to tell this story of looking at these stories of your girlhood and ultimately who you became?
Well, you know, I had been writing for a few years. I'd been writing for a bunch of different outlets. I'd been writing comedy. I'd been writing plays, things like that. But what I found was that when I did write about my life, I had a lot of interest in it. So I think that I kind of wanted to fill in the gaps, you know, and show, you know, what exactly had happened to me. And that's where, you know, the interest lay at the time. And I also think I wanted to pay tribute to a lot of the wonderful people that I worked with and kind of use my, I guess, cult following, you know, to talk about some things that were important to me.
When it comes to the accidental part, how does that come in the story of being of accidentally famous?
What do you mean exactly?
Meaning, you if you go into this career, is that not the end goal?
I don't think it is when you're a child. I think that where I grew up in Southern California, it was just kind of seen as a hobby. It was something that a lot of people did. And, you know, the same way that, say, you know, kids in Texas play football or kids in Canada play hockey, you know, it's something slightly dangerous, but it's something that a lot of kids did. A lot of my friends went on commercial auditions. And so I got called for a movie, and my mom wasn't sure about it, but, you know, she let me do it. And then before we knew it, I was cast, and before we knew it, that movie went on to become Mrs. Doubtfire, one of the most popular comedies of the 90s. We really did not expect that to happen. And after that, my mother checked in with me and made sure that I still wanted to act, and I had had a good time on it. So we did keep acting. I did still keep doing a few things. And it was, you know, it was fun. It was, I just kind of saw it as fun. I didn't see it as a big thing. I didn't see myself as famous. My family kept me grounded. I still shared a room with my little sister. For a long time, I still went to public school. I mean, I still went to Girl Scouts. I still had a lot of the same friends for a really long time. They just kind of kept me grounded. And you know, I didn't understand sometimes why people were coming up to me in the mall. You know, I knew that I acted, but I didn't feel, you know, famous.
For those who hired you, whether it be for Mrs. Doubtfire or Miracle on 34th Street or Matilda, what do you think they were looking for that they found in you?
I think I was very good at learning my lines auditorily. I think that I also learned to read at a relatively young age, and so that definitely helped me read scripts. And I think that I also had a mother who wasn't a stage mother, who was very, you know, strong and smart, but wanted to treat me like a normal kid. So I think that I had, you know, this good mix. I guess also I had, you know, the big eyes and big forehead that, you know, people consider cute in children.
Your mother, as you write about, you lost your mother to cancer at the age of 8, and that had to have been devastating, obviously, from a personal sense of the person that's guiding you through all of this. And is there a discussion at that point of, do I keep doing this?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it was that I was kind of burned out on acting by that point. I mean, after Matilda, I really didn't feel like there was anywhere I could go. And I was tired of being, you know, an actress. I wanted to be just a normal kid. But at the same time, acting was such a constant in my life. You know, acting was something that I really I felt like I had to hold on to. I had this love-hate relationship with it. I thought that being on the set was tedious, but, you know, I didn't know where else I could be or what else I could do. So it was something I felt like I had to keep doing.
Do you still have a love-hate relationship with it?
I think I do. I think I do. And I mean, I am more than happy not to be a film or TV actor anymore. You know, I don't want to be. I think that there are so many great actresses out there who, you know, are playing parts that I could play and are doing it better. I mean, if you look at what skills an actor needs to be really good at being in the moment, really good at making decisions, and, you know, really good at being glamorous. And I'm none of those things.
When you look at then as growing up, you go to NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. And at this point, were you thinking of what your career goal was going to be?
I thought for a while that I might want to do stage acting. I wasn't sure because I knew it was kind of a hard job to get into. But in high school, I switched to a boarding school for the visual and performing arts, Ida Wild Arts Academy. And when I was there, I realized that I wanted to learn more about different aspects of theater. You know, I wanted to learn more about writing and directing and you know, stuff like that, too. And so I went to a program at NYU, Playwrights Horizon Theater School, that was very much about that. It was about being well-rounded. It was writing, directing, designing, you know, producing, writing, never sleeping ever. And I did all of those things, and what I found was that I really loved writing. Now, I had always loved writing growing up, but I think I'd been afraid to trust myself as a writer, to believe that I really could be a writer, because I thought that I had to act. I thought acting was my thing. What I found was that writing dialogue came really easy to me, and writing about my life also came easily to me, and those were the things that really seemed to resonate with people.
I found it interesting. We talked a moment ago about that accidental fame and what it was like for you to be recognized in the mall and for people to know who you were. But you also write about how of what it was like to go from fame to relative obscurity. Once you're out of it for a while, then people don't recognize you, and then that's a little weird.
Yeah, you know, it was a little bit weird, I guess, but I think ultimately I kind of just accepted it.
And you weren't seeking it, so it made it easier, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good I am at being famous, let's be real.
What don't you like about it?
Well, it's not that I don't like it. I mean, I very much appreciate having the fan base that I do. And I do. I have this, you know, subset of the population to whom I am a big deal. And that's a wonderful feeling to have. But I think that for a long time, I really didn't understand why. I think I kind of had imposter syndrome. I think that, you know, because my parents kept me so grounded or tried to keep me so grounded, I struggled for a very long time with it. I struggled with my fame. And it was hard. It was very hard for me to understand that these people were, you know, my fans. Now it's something that I consider an honor that I meant something to these people.
This is not your story, but do you understand why so many child actors have significant troubles, especially as they go through adolescence and early adulthood?
Oh, completely. I mean, you lose yourself. You know, you lose your career when you go through puberty, and that's who you are. You know, your career is who you are from a very young age. Now, adults know that fame can be fleeting, but children don't know that. Children think that whatever they're doing now is what they're going to be doing forever. In some ways, it's kind of the drama of the gifted child. It's, you know, you're rewarding a child for pleasing others and for doing, you know, these things, and you're telling them how great and special they are. Well, you know, the moment that isn't true anymore, they've lost their entire self-concept. And at the same time, a lot of these kids are supporting their families financially and otherwise. And, you know, it's really hard for them when they grow up and they don't have anything because their family has it all. And when they don't really have parents anymore because their parents, you know, took it from them. That is, you know, that's an incredibly cruel thing to do. And it means that the children become the parents and the parents become the children. And I think that children need strong parents. They need something like that in their lives. You know, they need that love and that discipline.
For you, did you feel you were robbed of your childhood, or do you look at it as, because you seem to, when you look at the work and what you accomplished, that you enjoyed those moments?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of it that I enjoyed. There was some of it that was tedious, but, you know, I'm not, I mean, I suppose I've already complained in the past about it. I shouldn't go on and on. But the thing is that it was generally a good experience for me, being on sets and working with people. It wasn't always, but it generally was. So I feel like I did definitely have a good time with it. And sometimes I regret not getting out of it sooner because, I mean, I think I knew when I was kind of done with it, you know, and I think after Matilda, I kind of was. But I think that I did kind of do the best that I could.
And we always learn that after the fact of maybe we stayed at the party just a little bit too long, but you don't know that until you've stayed at the party a little too long.
Yeah, I guess not.
When you decided to write the book, was there an overall message that you wanted to get out about who you've become now and what this experience and this profound experience had on you?
Well, I think if you look at sort of the themes of my book, one of them is that, you know, I find a story in everything. So I think I did sort of find a story in everything. But I think that there's definitely another theme of the book is feeling like you're out of place, feeling like you're young, wondering, what am I doing here? How did I get here? And that's, I think, a feeling that a lot of people can relate to. And that's something that I hope a lot of people will be able to relate to in my book.
The name of the book is Where Am I Now? True Stories of Girlhood and Accidental Fame. The book is published by Penguin. Mara Wilson, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us, and best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Where Am I Now? It's published by Penguin Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.